Almost.
No.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have come together today to be refreshed and strengthened by the grace and goodness of God. So I invite you to please stand as you're able and join me in our call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call in his name, make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works.
Glory in his name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and judgment he has uttered.
Let us praise the Lord.
Like a good summer project of clearing out a closet or cleaning a car, our relationship with Jesus needs constant cleansing. So let's boldly open our hearts to the healing mercy of God. Let us pray together. God, we come before you honestly to confess our sins. We admit that we have not sought after your ways and desires. We have made the age-old mistake of forgetting about what you desire. We confess that in many ways we have not clothed ourselves with a new identity you suffered and died to give us. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Please heal and renew us by a fresh and and receive now the silent prayers of our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Family and faith, today we have been given the gift of a new and right spirit put within us. Because it's in God's very nature to be kind and merciful, especially when we don't deserve it. So we who have come clean and sought forgiveness can stand tall as those who are now forgiven and freed from these shackles of sin. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As our children come forward, I invite you to greet those around you with a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
So be it.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Christina. Really appreciate that. Today we are wrapping up our summer series where we've been looking at the different dynamics, the different angles of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so as we open our hearts and minds to what God is going to say to us, would you join me in a prayer? Oh, good morning, good and gracious God. Thank you for waking us to another day refreshed and bringing us here to this, our home, our faith home, where we get to come and be recharged in your presence. God, we've had a lot going on, and all week we know that you've been preparing us to hear your voice this morning. So we open to you our heart, mind, body, and spirit, and welcome you to come and to speak to us, because we are here to hear you. This we pray in your holy name. Amen. The scripture passage we're going to spend just a few moments with this morning is taken from the book of Colossians in the third chapter, and it starts with the first verse. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So don't lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach, admonish one another in wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. In my long 32 years on this planet, I've come to learn that there are two kinds of people. There are those who enjoy shopping, and there are those who very much do not enjoy shopping. In our house, Francesca has an almost spiritual level gift for shopping. She's never paid full price for anything in her life. She is so good at it, and I am not. The best way to get me to take a nap is to take me to a mall. I will pass out immediately. It is just exhausting. But it's something that Francesca shares with her mother-in-law, with my mom, who's also just really good and talented at finding a deal. I remember when we were growing up, she would often take us to this one department store that she loved called Bell's. Now, I don't know if we've ever had one here in Memphis, but it's a big deal down in Florida. And Mom would take us there, and the three of us minions oftentimes would make it pretty miserable because we did not want to go. Except there were a couple years where we really enjoyed going to Bell's. It was in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, when you'd walk in the store, you'd kind of follow the little, you know, yellow brick road around to the back of the store, and in the back left was a gag gift section. And in that area, there's all these little trinkets and things like that. We loved, I mean, we raced to go to this one gift. It was a faux wooden plaque with what looks like a freshly taxidermied fish stuck to the plaque. And on the bottom, just beneath the fish, it would have like a little brass mini placard that would say something like, "World's Greatest Dad," or "Best Angler." And then on top, just above the fish, there was a little red button. And every time you press the button, a song would start to play. And right at the refrain, which goes, "Don't worry, be happy," the fish would pivot out of the plaque and sing it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? So you all got those gifts as dads or gave them. They were fantastic. We were those kids just making everyone miserable in the department store. While my mom is pleasantly buying a blouse, we were just pressing it for like 45 minutes in the store, just having a ball. And as I was sitting with this passage this week, that song with that refrain, "Don't worry, be happy," it just kept playing on loop, even in my sleep. It kind of, you can't get it out of your head. Because in some ways, it seems like that's exactly what Paul is saying in the passage that we just heard. So he's talking to a group of people that have kind of fallen off of the spiritual wagon, for lack of a better term. They had become Christians, and they were so excited. But then, as in the beginning of every relationship, things matured, and their fervor cooled. They stopped coming to church as often. Their prayer life got a little rote and a little prescriptive. They stopped doing the things that Christians do. And so Paul is writing this letter to them, and he's like, "What are you doing?" It's as if you had just won. I don't know if anybody saw this in the news this week. Did you see about the Mega Millions jackpot? It was $1.337 billion. Somebody won it in Illinois. It is as if you have won the jackpot and you are still living paycheck to paycheck. What are you doing? And so he talks to them and he shares this, "Don't worry, be happy," kind of message. And there's no invitation. There's no encouragement like you should, you ought. It's command language. Be compassionate, humble, meek, in all things loving. And after sitting with the passage that we just read, it's kind of hard to not say, A very cliche phrase, easier said than done. We say that a lot when someone is giving us a piece of advice that, yeah, everybody agrees with. It sounds great, but realistically, it seems impractical. And I was sitting with this week, because every time someone says to me, you know, just be happy, or be at peace, be content. You can't just force yourself to be something that you're not. We can try, and we put in effort, but if you're having a down day, you're having a down day, right? And yet, Peter or Paul keeps talking to us. And the more you listen to him, the more you realize he's saying more than just shoving some religious advice down our throats. Because for us, where we are right now, we're on the precipice of another school year. Summer, somehow, is almost over. We've got work that's heating up. We've had our great vacations, and it's been phenomenal. And yeah, we haven't gone to church every Sunday, and we still pray before lunch and breakfast and before we go to bed. But whenever you hear a passage like this, it sounds like Paul is saying, try harder. Do better. Be nicer. And what reflexively bubbles up to the surface is what we all would say, I'm trying. I'm trying. And yet, I'm not hearing Paul tell us to work harder. It seems like he's saying something else. Because, of course, all of us want what he is offering. Yeah, we want compassion. We want deeper friendship. We want someone to forgive us. We want that rift in our family to heal. We want love to cover all things. We want our job that is paying the bills to be a little bit more inspiring. We want friends. We want to feel closer to our family. And this picture that he paints us of the life that we are called to seems like an ideal that will never, ever hit. And yet he keeps talking. He keeps talking, and he keeps repeating to us that it's actually not just this commandment to try harder. As is true in Jesus' ministry, he didn't just teach us. He showed us what this looks like. Because his disciples found themselves in the exact same spot we are. Every time we hear one of these passages that paints this gorgeous picture of how life ought to be, and we feel pretty far from that. There's this story. I love it. Jesus tells his disciples to get in a boat, go to the other side of a lake. So they do. They do exactly what God on earth with two legs and two arms tells them to do. They get in the boat and they sail, and it doesn't turn out the way they expect. The wind kicks up. The waves toss it around like a toy in a children's bath time. And you got to know they were praying. You got to know that they were crying out, and it still kept happening. And then something happens that no one expects. Jesus does a very Jesus thing. He miraculously walks above the chaos. And he comes to his disciples, and I think it's hilarious. It's a little dark comedy, but they think he's a ghost, and they freak out and start having a panic attack, and he says essentially what the fish is telling us, don't worry, be happy, listen, it's me, don't be scared. And Peter says, if it's you, call me out. And Jesus says a word, not just once, but he's saying it to us in every moment of our day this week, come. So Peter does. He defies all of his training as a very experienced seaman. He gets out of the boat, and somehow he's doing exactly what this passage says. He's walking above all of it. But as soon as he takes his eyes off Christ, he starts to sink. And he can't do anything to change it. He probably starts paddling like a duck underwater. It's not working. He's afraid he's going to die. And so he cries out, Lord, save me. And he feels a jolt at the end of his arm as Jesus catches him and lifts him up. And he shows us that the only way for this to be our story is if we're in the arms of God every step and every moment. You've got a lot going on right now. We've got traveling, projects at work, schools about to start, chemo treatments and diagnoses, wondering when retirement is going to come, wondering when friendship or love is going to come our way. And what we don't hear Paul telling us is that, you know what, if you just pray about it, you're going to be successful. He tells us something deeper. He tells us that the way for that chaos to not sink us is to cry out to Christ in each moment. Every time we go to work, every time we get together with our girlfriends, every time we get to hang out with family, there's someone else present. Not just as an idea, but as a reality. When Christ gave us his Spirit, he gave us his very presence. And so in each of those moments, the invitation, the command is to come to him. Come to him in the office, in the airplane, in the questions that you have, in the boredom, in the struggle, in the joy, in the everything's just fine. And something happens that we cannot do on our own. You started seeing it yesterday in your yard. They got a little greener after this rain. Things start sprouting up in your life organically. What we call fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Paul isn't telling us, work harder. He's saying, work out of the center of your life, the one who gives you life every moment of every day. This picture that he gives us is the single trajectory we are all on. No matter if we're at the beginning of life, at the end, in the middle, just retired, we are all on the same path, and that is towards renewal, towards healing. This actually does get to be our life. As we seek Christ in each moment and each day. Great teacher taught me once. She said, a lot of people think that it's all about saying the right words, doing the right things. Most of the time, the spiritual life is about creating the internal conditions to do that which only God can do. And so that is the invitation for us this week, creating space in that meeting, in that email, in that text with a friend, and inviting Christ to come and rise us up. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Siblings, we've been blessed to hear God's word read and proclaimed to us. So let us now stand and together with one strong voice, affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Our senior high youth just recently went on a trip to Mobile, Alabama. Come on up. Yeah. And Gracie Owens is going to tell us a little bit about their mission trip.
Good morning. My name is Gracie Owens, and I'm a senior in the youth group here at GPC. A couple weeks ago, the senior high youth group went on a mission trip to Mobile, Alabama. We spent each day going to different mission sites, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. This included two food banks where we sorted the food and brought it out to people's cars. We also organized a reading room at the Domez Weasley Community Center. We did a deep clean of the Victory Health Partners doctor's office, which is similar to the Church of Health hospital here. We also fed the homeless in the downtown Mobile area. In the evening, we would sit out on the dock by the ocean and go over our daily devotional. All in all, the youth would like to thank the church for supporting us on these trips and for as being in such a beautiful environment helped us grow closer together as a youth group and to God. We hope to continue some of these services back here in Memphis and continue to grow closer together. Thank you.
Let us join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Please join me in prayer. Oh God, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one who defines eternity. You are the God who was and is and always will be, and so we worship you today. You are mighty and magnificent, O God. You are majestic in power and holiness, and so we worship you. You are the creator God of this universe, and you alone are worthy of our praise. And so we think to ourselves, who are we, Almighty God, that you would care for any of us? We're not worthy of your attention and love, and yet you provided anyway, abundantly and graciously each day. You define love. You are love. In your love for us, you offer mercy and forgiveness. In your love, you bring strength to the weak and healing to the broken. We worship you because you are who you are. Hear us as we pray in gratitude for the recent rains in our area that have watered the crops and the livestock and the trees and the plants and the people. For so long this summer has been hot, it has been dry, and in your mercy you have caused rain to fall in our midst, and we are thankful. At the same time, we remember those who are suffering due to so much rain is causing flooding. We think of our neighbors in Kentucky and Missouri. We pray for those people who have lost loved ones. And we pray for those places, those communities that will be rebuilding for a long time to come. We know that you are the God of all people. You care so much about so many around the globe, especially those today who are victims of injustice, those who are victims of cruelty and exploitation. We cannot imagine what it must be like for the people of the Ukraine to have bombs and shells falling all the time. We cannot imagine what it must be like for those Russian soldiers to make the decisions to launch them. And so we pray that you would engineer an end to this war, and we pray for diplomatic efforts. We pray that you would save Ukrainian lives that can be saved, end the war, and save Russian souls that can be saved. Be with those we love in our church family, in our own families, those who on this day are suffering for any reason, some with broken hearts, others with damaged lives. We lift up to you those who are in the hospital today, those who are at home who are recovering, those who have faced surgery, those traveling to seek second opinions, those facing treatments this week. Lord, bless them all and bring us all back together in your good time. And hear us now as we lift up our many voices into one voice and we pray the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with a very little will be also trusted with much. And so we are grateful for all that God has entrusted to us. And now we return a little bit, a portion of all of God's good gifts. We return them now in the taking up of our tithes and our offerings. Will our collectors please come forward?
Let us turn to God in prayer. Gracious and good God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you've blessed us with visions of new ways of being your people. And so we offer to you our gifts and our very lives. We pray that you will receive them as a sign of our renewed commitment to follow and serve Jesus wherever he leads us to go, to use our gifts and our lives to further your blessed kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Again, everyone is welcome for a phenomenal lunch just next door. If you haven't brought anything, don't worry about it. No one's ever left hungry in this church ever. So come and join us and receive this blessing. May the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest with and abide in you always, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace and have a great week.